Hello, welcome to 1-2 Radio. That's 1-2radio.com, and you're listening to Pathways to Consciousness and Healing. I'm your host, Jim Komar, and like I said, you're on 1-2 Radio, changing the way you listen to the world. And I have a guest tonight, Maria Forrest here. But before I start my show, by the way, Maria just wrote this great children's book. I mean, it really is a good book for the little ones. But before I start my conversation with Maria, I'd like to mention a few things. Please check me out at my website. That's jimkomar.com, J-I-M-K-O-M-A-R.com. That's jimkomar.com, J-I-M-K-O-M-A-R.com. And also check me out at 1-2Listen, the flip side of 1-2Radio. I'm available for readings. I'm a psychic and a medium, so please check me out there. And we're going to start our conversation with Maria Forrest here, who just wrote a book called The Land of the In-Between. And, I mean, this book is – love this book because it's got really nice art. You could say through the whole book, it's colorful. It's – and if you're a little one, you're going to love this book. You might get your little ones to start reading on their own, or you could even read to them. I know how the little ones like to be read to, little boys and girls out there. But also, this book is fascinating with the coloration, the artistry of the book itself. So they might just pick up this book and start reading on their own. I'm thoroughly convinced of that. And I'd just like to welcome Maria Forrest. How are you doing, Maria?
I'm doing wonderful.
Excellent. Good to hear
great
that.
Great to be here.
Let's start with this question. When did you start writing this book?
Oh, gosh. It was about 10 years ago or more.
Wow.
But I'm almost done now with ego procrastination and guilt. So that's my joke. But it's been quite a journey to get out of my own way, actually.
Fantastic. So you started it years and years ago, but now it's out into the world. And are you excited? Just when I read the book, I was quite enthralled by the artwork. Great, you could say, young literature for young minds. And I like that idea. How did you get into the idea of writing, children's books, a child book, a book for the children? Is there a particular reason, or you just had to do it?
Well, it was kind of a compulsion in a good way. And, and I kept being told that, oh, you have this fairy type, demeanor and look about you. And I just kept being drawn to it. And that one time I was journaling at night and asked, why me? Why me? And my pencil, I just kind of let my pencil write, and what came through my arm or whatever, my pencil, was like, you will inspire others. And that was quite a shock, but I still was getting in my own way. But what inspired me the most was actually I was seeing Jim as a client, and he inspired me by the audience for this book. It would have been even better if I would have got it out 5 years ago for the kids then. And I've talked to different teachers, and some of those classes that would have been 8 years old 5 years ago, we're going through some tough times. So I feel like I'm redeeming myself, getting this out there and making it even better and out there sooner than going the traditional route of and getting a, my own publisher, or getting a big name publisher.
Gotcha.
So I wanted to get it out there as soon as I could to help more kids, and they enjoy it, and they can really be proud of their gifts instead of trying to hide them, which is difficult in this day and age sometimes.
Yeah. Now you say you're saying how it's a coping and balancing tool for the children. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, that is a little vague. So, one specific is the fairy godmother gives some gentle and spunky and fun tools to help balance when you get out, even the fairy godmother gets out of balance sometimes. And one of them, I'll just tell you, is Louise Hay was really a believer in, I don't know if everybody knows Louise Hay. She is the founder of Hay House. But anyway, she believed the most efficient and productive way of increasing your self-confidence and your balance is looking in the mirror, eye to eye into yourself in the mirror, and saying, I love you. And recently, I was able to use it with a good friend I know when it was kind of a big problem came up. And I said, well, I suggested, why don't you look in the mirror and say, I love you anyway. And I thought, well, I better step up and start doing it too. And I have to admit, it is quite an effective therapy, and kids can learn how to do it quickly too. And Magpie, the spunky narrator, storyteller, he's the one that introduces this idea. And I definitely wanted to make it a non-preachy book. That was one of my main goals.
Good. I think you succeeded well at that, by the way.
And
the reason why I said that is it's like when I read it, I started reading, I got into the second, third, fourth page. And when it came to the end, I was disappointed because it came to the end. So it's a child's book, and it's only so thick, but still, I wanted more, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, another thing, your illustrator. I mean, this is a great illustrated book. Your illustrator, you told me she was from Scotland or somewhere like that?
Ireland.
Ireland.
The fairy herself. And on my website, Ladybug Publishing House, I just put yesterday a video of me opening up the original. She just mailed me from Ireland the original artwork. And it was so fun to open it up. And it's amazing. The watercolors look wonderful, but when it's got a glossy cover over it on the hardback book and the soft cover, it even looks better.
Oh, nice, nice. Now, so why don't you mention your website again? That's ladybugpublishinghouse.com. Is that where they can go and actually buy the book?
Well, there's a link to Amazon.
And
I hope to have a link to Barnes & Noble and maybe one more eventually. But that's kind of a go-to place. It'll have a link to my author page, which we are just building now. And that's a great place. And if you go to Amazon, what I have found is the easiest way to find my book is just to Google, just to search my name on Amazon, Maria Forrest. Forrest with two R's. I try to make a joke that I'm a cousin of Forrest Gump.
So okay, there you go. You know, well, Forrest did well for himself.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. So another thing with your book, what inspired you to come up with these characters? How did they come about in your mind?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going back like 9 years ago in the kitchen of someone that lives in Golden, Colorado, a really good friend. And I was saying, I don't know how to name the main character. And it was really a problem. And then somehow we came up with Lady Butt.
Oh, okay.
I said, I can't name her that. And my friend said, oh, sure you can. Just think of a story of how she got her name. So it evolved that she is this spunky character, and mm-hmm. people, and it ended up not her grandmother naming her, but her spunky brother, impish brother, Twig, naming her because the grandmother told her, well, she's a lady, but, and then, and it's just really cute how the siblings work together. Because first, mm-hmm. before a new one comes into the family, there's a little sibling wondering how the family tree is going to change, and will I like this new child coming into our family? And it's not just for siblings at all, but it turned out, I really like how it turned out with the sibling naming the child. Because the names the parents picked out didn't really fit her after she made her quite outlandish landing from the rainbow. But well, I don't know if that answers your question, but it's just been a journey the whole way, and I've had a lot of earth angels and other angels helping me with the book. It's kind of, I feel it's kind of came through me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. Now you said, about 5 minutes ago that it's for kids to recognize their differences, you know, like I can be proud of who I am and that kind of thing. Have you gotten any positive response from the little ones?
Yes, it feels like that the characters mm-hmm. are allowed to be different. Mm-hmm. And it's celebrated. You know, she comes down in a very unorthodox way, but it's everyone supports the differences. At first, the brother doesn't understand. Doesn't she know how to go down the rainbow? But it all enriches everybody. And then even Twig is a little uncertain about, why didn't my mother have a dream about me? And this isn't really about gifts, but she, mm-hmm. It comes out that it's okay because the family all loves everyone. And sometimes the wordless support is the mm-hmm. best with parents. Someone even said this is more, it could be also a family book or a parent book in that mm-hmm. section of the, I love to picture whole families reading this out loud together. And mm-hmm. in some countries, they call it cozying together or cozy mm-hmm. up together. So I don't know if that answers your question. But,
actually, it does. When you say, let me ask you this one. Let's go a little deeper into that. When you said it's a tool for parents, in what way would parents use this book as a tool?
Well, the kind of loud magpie, he gentles his voice when he's talking to Mama Rose about, well, you might not want to compare your kids because siblings, you know, they compete enough as it is.
But, oh, they sure do.
Yeah. And there's moments like that where it's just a gentle suggestion from, the narrator or someone or mm-hmm. fairy godmother of just pointing out, you know, that competition isn't always the best with comparing your kids.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And,
So another thing here is, since you're emphasizing a balance here, you say right against wrong, good against bad, so forth and so on, that the balance of the yin and yang, do you feel like by the time a child would pick this book up or it's being read to them, that they would get what you're telling you, like a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old?
Yes, I think so. And for one example, Twig, when he feels like he's got hiccups in his life, he goes out in nature. And that's a very balancing thing for all of us, I think. And, you know, it's not told in the book, but I just am astounded. The best line, I think, in the book that has to do with balance, this autistic, nonverbal 25-year-old person said, "Nature is the most magical fairy of all." And I thought, wow, I couldn't have thought of that. And I don't, you know, and she had to jump so many hurdles to communicate that. And I think that's the biggest thing about these hidden talents, too, as well as coping. We've got hidden talents. Some children can just stand near you and you feel better. As far as balance, so Twig did that. He likes to go out in nature when he gets, you know, has hiccups in his life.
Right.
And so if we just look to nature-made things, it seems to balance us. And sometimes I mentioned that Twig is a character. I didn't say he was spectrum or anything. But a lot of us have sensitivities for sound or for light or something. And sometimes it's enriching. Like some children, like Twig in the story, can see so many different colors. And hear so many different things than we can, but it can get overwhelming. So it's a gift, but it needs balance. So when he feels overwhelmed, he needs some tools to get back where he can enjoy it and not feel overwhelmed.
So another question, let's say when you have a child that is a bit anxious, do you think this book could help him or her to get back more centered, you know, like emotionally, because of how you wrote the book?
Well, that would be the pie in the sky. I would love for that to happen, whether I hear about it or not. And and the illustrator has to be equally commended. One of my favorite pictures is of the main character with the fairy godmother. And I have had adults tell me, I never get tired of seeing that picture. So my guess after she said that is, oh, these pictures alone can be healing.
Yeah, you know, I totally agree. I totally agree. I mean, you could say you picked a great illustrator. I mean, it's imaginative. It's fun just to open the book. And was that your purpose, was to create a sense of fun or joy?
Yes, yes. Most of my life, I haven't considered myself fun. We're like too serious. And my sister that's on the other side, she has been helping me with writing, you know, all the three books before this one and this one. And she's showing me that I'm fun too sometimes. And that's kind of, I don't know if that's too strange to mention here, but time and time again, I get reminders that my sister on the other side is helping me, and she's reminding me that she loves me. And she's just, when I get discouraged, you know, like, I wasn't really discouraged at this moment, but just yesterday, I saw a yellow butterfly, and it reminded me of, that was my first image of her when I was 3 years old is her all in yellow clothes. And as a three-year-old, I said, oh, yellow. And it's just a coincidence maybe, but I saw a yellow butterfly.
Yeah, so she showed up, huh?
That. I think so. I haven't seen a yellow butterfly all summer. And I've noticed. But anyway, that's my story. And I just am really grateful.
Yeah. Wow. How beautiful for you and her, you know? There is definitely a, you could say, co-writer there behind you. And that's nice. That's really nice. Now, you also.
Can I say something real quick?
Please.
Okay. My sister, Linda, her birthday was October 24th. So around that time, I'm even giving even a little bit more of a boost to, or a discount on Amazon in honor of her, in celebration of all she
is. On that day, on the 24th. Okay, well, that's good to know.
A few days after as well. I think it's like a spread, but okay. You can order it anytime and then order it again for friends or family or birthday gifts. But anyway, that's my shameless plug here.
Well, that's one of the reasons why you're here. There's nothing shameless about it. as far as like you're talking about Twig, the character there, is Twig a representation of someone you knew growing up as a child?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. I haven't thought of that. I had three brothers, and they were all very fun and a little too spunky sometimes for my gentle heart, but now I'm appreciative of how fun they are. Probably a combination of all three of my brothers.
Oh, okay. Good. That's good to know. You know, sometimes books are inspired by the people around us. And obviously you put a little of those three into the character. Now, another thing here is, with this, you're a great illustrator and how you put the words behind the pictures, behind the colors, behind the splashes of colors. Were you able to, did you tell your illustrator what you wanted or what you were looking for? Or she just started to do it and then you said, no, change it like this? Or how was that process between you and her? Because I'm sure there are people listening this evening that are interested in writing books. So the process.
Yes, I'd love to share.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it was really interesting because at 9 in the morning in Ireland, mm-hmm. it's like 3 or 4 here.
Mm-hmm.
So if I woke up, I would check if she was awake or send her something. So I didn't get much sleep during that time. But it was magical. A lot of time, I told her which picture in her portfolio I liked the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that gave her an idea. And then it was, yes, it was like back and forth, yes or no. And the only, like she did a ton of the magpie. She thought we needed a different magpie picture every time he was narrating.
Mm-hmm.
And I was more interested in just giving that a couple too, but that got cleared out right away. And the hardest thing for us,
mm-hmm.
I think because I didn't have a clear picture yet of how the main character looked. We were having trouble with that. And then I went to a writer's conference. So you never know kind of where your inspiration comes.
Right.
In Fort Collins, Colorado. And I was looking for an agent. I know what he wanted me. But anyway, the one I liked the most, she just was working with adult books. So she didn't do children's books, but they really had social impact projects with their publishing house,
mm-hmm.
Their company. But she allowed me to take her picture. As soon as I sent that to the illustrator, we had Ladybug, or the main character down in like 48 hours. It was amazing.
Wow.
And the mother character, I think she just got better and better the more the illustrator did. I like to give her a lot of details as clear as I could be and then get out of her way and
mm-hmm.
let her run with it a bit. And yes, then we went back and forth. That worked well for us.
Mm-hmm. And another thing here. Since the book's out there in the world, are you going to do a follow-up to this book?
Yes, it will be a trilogy.
Beautiful.
And I've been working. Oh, the most funny thing happened today too. But I was the next part of it will really kind of honor Native American folk tales.
Oh, nice.
And there's a story about the raven who stole the sun back from whom took it. And there's a story about this Alaskan Indian chief that was hoarding not only the stars and the moon, but the sun, even from his wife and daughter. So that'll be a big part of the next book. But what was interesting is I posted something about, hey, if you want to listen to the 12radio.com show, do this. And then I got this kind of nasty comment about it. And I kind of asked her about it, what was behind it. You know, I didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. And then come to find that we are so kindred spirits about social impact projects and our goals. And she just wants the Native American piece. She's Native American. And so that, I think we've, you know, stumbled onto a friendship through this one comment she made that was quite derogatory, but making, applesauce out of rotten, or I don't know what the saying is.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Making lemonade on lemons there. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And so, you know, I'm so impressed with the artistry of this first book. You need to put this in cartoon form.
Huh. Oh, an animation.
Animation, yes.
Wow. Yes, funny thing happened is that I'm looking at this bus to transform into a busmobile, bookmobile adventure.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, please.
And it was used for animation South Park, if anybody knows that. It wasn't for children.
Great show.
Animation, yeah. So it was a funny coincidence that you asked about that.
But
Maria, see if I get that bus or not. Yeah.
Maria, we're going to a break here and we'll be back in 5 minutes. So please stay tuned through the break. And Maria, I've got more questions about her fantastic book here. And like I said, you can go to Amazon.com right now and look up her name, Maria Forrest, with two R's, and see what I'm talking about. So we'll be back in 5 minutes. And remember, there are two things that are important: that unconditional love you give to yourself and others, and the peace of mind you give to yourself and others. Be back in 5 minutes. Hello, welcome back to 1-2 Radio. That's 1-2radio.com, and you're listening to Pathways to Consciousness and Healing. I'm your host, Jim Komar. And my guest tonight is Maria Forrest, the woman who wrote The Land of In-Between, a great child's book, a great book for the family, for that matter. So please, we're going to continue to talk to Maria in the second half of the show. And, like I said, go to Amazon.com right now and see what the artwork's like. And I'm telling you, this artwork's great. Maria, I asked this in the first half, just in case we have new listeners. In the second half, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, it's hard to put succinctly, but I feel like it's what I came here to do. I feel like I've found my path and I'm running with it. And people always said, "Well, you look kind of like a fairy," or "I have fairy energy."
Mm-hmm.
But I have a master's degree in early childhood, and I've always felt deeply for when they're doing well, and when I see when they might need some support.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of have a blur, because I've been writing this book for 10 years. I mean, now it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be a trilogy, but it took me 10 years because I was, like I said before, I was caught up in ego and procrastination and finally got out of my own way.
Maria, can you talk better in the phone? You're fading out.
Oh, hello? Okay. Is that better?
Yeah. Yeah, that's much that better. Yeah, much
okay.
better.
Well, it was actually you, Jim, that really helped me solidify why. And it was that these kids are calling for me to help them, perhaps. And I think we're helping each other because I'm learning so much on the way, the kids I meet. Some of them are spectrum, and that was a surprise that all kids may enjoy and benefit from this book, but it might acknowledge some of the hidden gifts of spectrum children, which are autistic or Asperger's or those not to be named, labeled.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of surprised me, too. And as I said before, one time I was journaling, why me to write this book? It felt like a burden because I was really struggling making it meaningful and fun and worth publishing. And it seemed like my handwork by itself is not by itself, but was you will inspire others. And so if I do attempt to that, I'll be happy and just inspire others.
Now, another question. There's a number of listeners tonight, and I'm sure some of them have thought about writing a book, whether any kind of book. It doesn't matter whether it's you did a children's book here. Other future authors out there have different ideas, different viewpoints. What would you say to inspire them to get their words out in the world?
Well, it's easier now with Amazon, KDP, it used to be called Create Space. And I had some great coaches around here that made it easy. But the hard part was, is I knew what it's like to self-publish, and I didn't want to go down that road, mostly because of financial reasons and just wearing so many hats. But then someone said something to me that was really true for me for this book. It's like, this is a trilogy. And it probably would have felt like expecting triplets, and then giving them up for adoption with a publishing company that could make all the shots, call the bottom, shots about the illustrator. So that part I'm grateful for almost every day is that I got to pick the illustrator, I got to pick that, I got to put in the meaningful parts that I thought were fun and spunky, but also meaningful.
So you had more control. If you went to the publisher, a company, they would tell you, we do it this way, therefore the way you're doing it is wrong, or something to that effect.
Well, I understand, because it's their dollars, it's their risk.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that, but it is nice to have more of the control over how it looks, and that it's not just fluffy, that it has some meaning to it, or depth to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're glad you did. You went this route as opposed to getting published by a publisher.
Well,
happier.
It's a very mixed bag. All in all, yeah, it's not all in one, but it's a mixed bag. And if you want me to share where I found my illustrator, would that help others?
Yeah, you can mention her name, please.
Well, I don't want her to get too busy now.
Oh, okay, because you got more work for her.
Well, it's on the book. It's right on the book Rock Web. But anyway, it was fiverr.com, fiverr.com. And you have to be careful, but if you find the most experienced ones and just, kind of use your intuition too, I'm just very happy. And I use someone to get a trademark too, because, Jim has been helping me through this whole long process and encouraging me when I was discouraged. And I did get a trademark, so it might become, animation at some point.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
And I'm meeting some people that have connections with that. So that's fun.
That is fantastic. And at the back of the book, I just want to read this. I'll share the ideas to stay centered and stand tall in the deepest gifts, even if you are short. That is good. What inspired you to write that on the back of the book?
Well, that, I think, came through me. It wasn't from someone else, but, well, I'm really short. I'm 5'1 now after many years of, I guess I've been shrinking a tiny bit. But I wanted to use humor without saying the book is humorous.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, oh, that's genius. Stand tall in your deepest gifts, even if you're short. It speaks of humor without saying it's a humorous book.
Yeah. Now, on the chat page here, Raven says, I've been working on a book for the past 2 to 3 years. What would you say to Raven here to have her, you could say, get her book finished, have it edited, bring it out to the world? What would you say to get her moving, so to speak, from your experience of putting this book out?
Well, I guess the first thing I would go to a writer's, I don't regret going to a writer's conference.
Mm-hmm.
They were kind of expensive, but I learned so much. And you meet people, even the people that aren't giving all the workshops, you learn so much from them. So
mm-hmm.
even though I didn't find an agent, which Raven?
Raven, yes.
And that's one of the main animal characters, so I'm really drawn to that.
That's true.
She's
in the book. She's in the book.
Yeah. So writers' conferences are great. And here in Denver area, My Word Publishing is a great place where I found not only support with the whole picture,
mm-hmm.
But also, I found a layout designer that she helps put the pictures with the words, and it's really complicated to download it into KDP Amazon. And so mm-hmm. I was happy with just letting her read with that.
Mm-hmm.
And they had many other people too that helped with the Library of Congress, or they call it something different now. So, like, if you're going to self-publish,
mm-hmm.
it was really helpful to find one hub where I could find great people
mm-hmm.
for the whole picture. one's a professional editor, and I didn't know there was edit by line. It's completely different to make sure your words go with the right picture and how one page isn't just jam-packed with text and then you just have a few words on the next picture. So, but if you go with a publisher, I think it's a lot less stressful on your pocketbook or your savings. So it's a mixed bag, but I guess I have to say it really helped me to check in with Jim and have him check in with what my highest good would be, with what some of the hard decisions were. And even, you know, Jim helped me to silence my too chatty brain and tune into my own wisdom, which was wonderful.
Ah, now, since you are published and we're talking about Raven here, who's been writing her book for the past 2 to 3 years, was it worth all the stress and the 10 years of writing, rewriting, or starting, or not starting? Was it, now that you're here, you could say in the complete form, your book, was it worth all that stuff? To you, was it worth all that you put the time, effort you put into it?
Yes, it was worth all the time. There were some stressful things that happened that were close to, you know, it was tough. There were some things coming along the way, but most of it, I think that those things happened when I was too tired. So there again is the balance. My book is about balance. Me keeping my own balance is my greatest gift and my greatest weakness. But the answer would be yes, because I feel like I came here to Earth to, and for one reason, among others, to do this. But there were some really tough times, I won't kid you.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
But yes, it was worth it. I don't think I could do a 9-to-5 cubicle job knowing I came here to do this. That would be more than depressing to just sit on something that was my gift for the world. That sounds too ostentatious or too braggy for me, but you know, we all have our gifts, and what I'm learning is some of this kindergarten students I've had as a teacher that were Down syndrome is the word they still call it, maybe, that they are so gifted with compassion. I mean, they're 2 years ahead of their age mates on compassion. They've even done studies where often they show compassion before the regular 5-year-old or whatever. And the same with all of us. We all have hidden gifts. Or this, and I just don't want kids to hide them. That was my biggest thing. I want them to keep their gifts and to use them, not hide them. And there's a lot of struggle out there now with these young kids. You read about it. I can't imagine going to school nowadays, with their, you know, first week of school. They're trained in things that I never thought about going to, one room schoolhouse, really. But anyway, I want to empower them. And they're empowering me at the same time.
And, another question here. Since you're on, this is a trilogy series, you're on your second book right now. After you're done with your trilogy, what's your next project?
I just can't believe you asked that, but I love the question. It's for like teenagers. And I have the ending. The only thing I know about this story is how it ends.
Okay.
But it's a real flip on things. All of you writers out there, Stephen King, I don't really like horror stories at all, but his book, Stephen King on Writing, is more of a biography. Incredible tips. Oh, and that his book challenged me to flip something, flip a stereotype. And Yeah, I can't believe how excited I am. I better get this trilogy done so I can work on that one. And that could be a movie as well, is what might happen.
You know, in the first half of the show, I mentioned to you, are you ready to put this in animation? This is some really good material in this book. I mean, as far as the artwork goes, and I'm a big fan of South Park. I like that humor. When this comes out in cartoon form, I think you're going to have a nice hit going here. You could be on the Saturday morning cartoons.
No, that would be fun.
That would be fun.
That would be fun. Well, what I need is connections. So if anyone's out there on 12 Radio that can connect me or is a person involved in that, I'm wide open. I'm ready to have this help more and more children all over the world and be translated into other languages too.
Beautiful, beautiful. So you're ready to translate it from Chinese to French to German to Arabic, huh?
One step at a time.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to start with Spanish, and I have a mother of an autistic girl. It's a teenager, and she's willing to help me translate it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'd like as many languages as we can. I think that'd be great. Honor their own language. That's wonderful.
And so, now this is a futuristic question. 4 or 5 years down the road, when you're successfully, wildly famous for, you say, your books, the question is, is that going to change your life in the way that you live your life? Or would you say you'll just continue on the way you've been living your life up to this point?
Yeah, I can't see myself changing because I grew up very, my family was very humble and very respected in the community. And giving back, my parents were honored many times about their gifts to the community, and the high school kids gave them some honor about that, and my whole family, siblings are like that, and I think I'll be the same. I'll just be able to run with more ideas I have. And enjoy life to the fullest. But no, I'm just, the girl next door.
Ah, okay. Beautiful, beautiful. Now, to inspire our audience tonight to, you say, complete a project they'd started. It took you 10 years to get there. And Raven's been working on it for 2 to 3 years. And I'm sure other listeners have, you could say, other ideas, concepts to put their ideas into a book form. What would you say to them if they were to finish whatever project they were on? What would you say to them to finish their project, like Raven here?
Find what gets you out of your own way and just do it. Sometimes even 5 minutes a day or, there's a great book. What was that name of that? She's great. She said the artist form in us is kind of the best of a child, a childlike. And you've got to treat that very gently, your artistic side. What's her name? But I think I might put that in my Ladybug Publishing House once I find it. But so you give a small step and you give yourself a treat. You you give yourself ice cream cone or something if you do 5 minutes a day, or, well,
good.
That's a bad example.
But or give yourself a little reward of some kind.
Yes. Something that you enjoy that's healthy for you, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
go ahead.
The Artist's Way. I think The Artist's Way is that the name of the book.
Name of the book.
But
okay.
It really helps for you to treat your artistic side very gently and mm-hmm. encouraging.
Well, our show is coming to an end, and I'd like to thank Maria here. And the name of her book, it's a children's book, The Land of the In-Between, available on Amazon.com. So please check it out. I'm telling you, this is a great book. Even if you're an adult, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I highly recommend it. And maybe it will inspire the audience once they see your book to say, well, if Maria can do it, damn, I can do this too. So think about that, you know, what Maria did for 10 years and she's finally out there in the publishing world. She did it. You can do it. What one man or one woman can do, you can do. And so thank you very much, Maria. And once again, why don't you give your website, please?
Yes. LadybugPublishingHouse.com.
And there's a link for Amazon on that website?
Yes.
Okay. And if they went to Amazon, the best way you said earlier was to just put your name in there and it'll go right to your book?
Right.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And I just want to thank all the beautiful men and women listening to the show tonight and thank you, Maria, for sharing your thoughts and your creativity with the audience tonight. You inspired me. I hope that people listening tonight are inspired. And remember, there are two things that are important: that unconditional love you get to yourself and others, and that peace of mind you give to yourself and others. And believe me, read The Land of In-Between. It's a very funny, humorous, peaceful book. That's what I've gotten from the book. And I just want to say thank you for listening and have a great week ahead. We'll talk next week. Bye.
Listening to 1-2 Radio, that makes you very special in our book. Thank you. Sit back, relax, let us entertain you.
are so happy that you have found 1-2 Radio. If you'd like to join us in the chat room, just head over to 1-2-radio.com, click on the chat button, and just like that, you'll be redirected into our Facebook chat room. It's magic!